in 2 Timothy, we seem to be bogging down here a little bit after Paul got the introduction in. One verse went pretty much the whole hour, and I got a little bit into verse 9, speaking of the power of God who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace. I spent quite a bit of time talking about the purpose. God has a purpose, and He'll get His purpose done with the body of Christ, whether you're a member of the body of Christ or whether you stay in the first Adam and rot in the lake of fire. And that purpose was given us, not us before the foundation of the world, but in Christ Jesus, who was there before the foundation of the world. Now, what God has done before the world began has escaped most of Christianity's attention.
Yeah.
Before the world began, we know in 1 Corinthians in chapter 2, verses 7 and 8, there was hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world, unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. Cherubim didn't know it, seraphim didn't know it, the devil didn't know it, the devils didn't know it. And probably not Martha and the Vandellas. There are a lot of people who just didn't know. Everybody driving a coupe de ville. They didn't know it.
That's right.
And had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Isn't that a stunner? When you consider, we've all heard the preacher say, everybody in the Old Testament is looking forward to the cross. Really? This verse makes you a liar. This verse says nobody was looking forward to it. If they'd have understood it, they wouldn't have done it. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 9, we have the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world had been hid. So you go back to Genesis, you go back to Adam and Eve, and already what God's going to do with you and me in heavenly places to reclaim the authority in heavenly places is something hid. It's not known in Genesis 1. It's not known in Genesis 9 when the Tower of Babel is being built.
That's right.
So, the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world hath been hid. Colossians chapter 1, verse 26, you see that it was hid from ages. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, it was, you see, put in place before the foundation of the world. So there's activity before Genesis 1. God gave to Moses information that Moses did not personally witness.
Right.
Moses wrote the first 5 books of the Bible. Some of that includes information that took place after he died.
Yes.
Joshua wrote that part. Some of it includes information before he was born. And so by the inspiration of God the Holy Spirit, Moses had information about what took place in the garden that he was not there to witness.
That's right.
Before any of that, something was already set in place. This business of the revelation of the mystery. And where we are, 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9, we see it again where it's before the world began. And then in Titus in chapter 1 and verse 2, we see the hope of eternal life in which God that cannot lie promised when? Before the world began. So part of the revelation of the mystery then is the hope of eternal life. Not the hope of a covenant probationary standing that Israel had. Get that. Because there's fools in the grace movement teaching that you could lose your salvation. Get that. It's eternal life. It's not probation. It's not cross your fingers and hope to die. Now, those verses which I've given you, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 7 and 8, Ephesians 3, 9, Colossians 1, 26, Ephesians 1, 4, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9, Titus chapter 1, verse 2, are a wonderful litany of verses for you to use with your Baptist friends and neighbors, your Methodist friends and neighbors, about how God had something in place before the world began, and nobody knows about it until it is revealed to the Apostle Paul.
Amen.
In Luke, I love verse 70 of chapter 1, where you see what's going on is that which had been spoken by all the holy prophets since the world began. And Jesus, in his red letters in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 34, talks about Israel's kingdom prepared from the foundation of the world. You can draw a line in the sand, can you not?
Mm-hmm.
There's before and there's since.
Yes.
So since the world began, it's Israel and the kingdom. Before, well, that's a mystery nobody knew anything about until it was given to the Apostle Paul. Peter lays it out plainly, and I've used this a few times with people who don't see mid-Acts, who don't see Paul. And I've asked them to expound it for me. Acts chapter 3, verses 19 and 20 and 21. What does this mean, preacher? Repent ye therefore and be converted. Does that mean you're not converted yet? You think you got converted in Acts 2:38. Why is Peter saying still you got to be converted? That your sins may be blotted out? Didn't you tell your people their sins were blotted out? Why is Peter saying maybe? The blotting out when the times are refreshing, what's that, preacher? Isn't that the new heaven and the new earth? Isn't that when the planet is refreshed? Well, you mean you don't get your sins blotted out till then? Peter's saying that one chapter after you think the church began and what you teach people in Acts chapter 2? Help me out, preacher. What's this mean? Acts chapter 3, verse 19. And he shall send Jesus, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven and earth received until the time of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Underline the last four words, since the world began, because Paul uses the same last four words in Romans chapter 16 and verse 25 about something that was kept secret. Same four words, since the world began, Romans chapter 16, verse 25. Wait a minute, preacher. If Peter says what we're doing is what everybody talked about since the world began, and Paul says what he's doing is something that nobody talked about since the world began, how can those two things be the same?
Amen.
And so, it's like the first time you went fishing, and with your old cane pole, you pulled in a big old sunfish and put that sunfish on the bottom of the boat. He just flopped and flipped and flapped and flopped. That's what preachers do.
Yes.
When you take them to these passages, they just flop around like a sunfish in the bottom of the boat.
Yes.
The reason is they can't handle the verses. And how difficult is it? Since the world began, there's stuff everybody preached. Since the world began, there's stuff nobody preached. Can't be the same. Can't be the same. We're probably going to start measuring our lives before Al Gore invented the internet. And since the cyber world began, things have changed. They're not the same. You can't make them the same. Would that you could. I like letters. They come in the mail. They have salutations and greetings, and maybe they enclose a picture and have nice, you know, things they thought about.
Yeah.
Not things with every word misspelled that they tweeted you.
Yeah.
The coarseness of our country. Well, that's another subject. You can take the five verses, 6 verses I gave you that show before the world began, and contrast those with the verses since the world began, and demonstrate that there's two things going on in your Bible.
Yes.
Most folks don't know that. Most folks think it's just one long story that puts everybody on a cloud singing Amazing Grace for 10,000 years. It's important to compare and contrast, and before the world began, in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9, is one of the important verses on that list of a half dozen verses that we should all have. It's written in the front of each of my Bibles. I'm sure Carol has it in her $1 million Bible. And she wouldn't take $1 million for it, I'll tell you that. God has a purpose, we've seen that, for His creation, for you and me as a part of His creation. I've got delegated to me things that I need to be busy doing.
Yes.
It's not about me walking around town saying, bless you, Jesus, hallelujah, and making a show and saying some words. My job is to show people Christ and Him crucified, point out to all of us being sinners without hope, the hope that we need, that's Christ and Him alone. It's not by works of righteousness.
Amen.
And so, we don't have Israel's covenant relationship. You see that in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. We have riches, glory, in a mystery. Colossians chapter 1, verse 27.
Yes.
So I'm not bereft. There are things in Israel's program that, as a nearly 70-year-old geezer walking around on a sin-cursed earth, I'd be really, really glad to have some of the things in Israel's program.
Yeah.
I'd like to have somebody lay hands on me and heal me.
Yeah.
I've had tinnitus now for more than 10 years.
Yeah.
Whenever you talk to me, and if there's someone else talking in the room, you don't know it, but it's really hard for me to tune in on you when you're talking, because I've got a third thing going on the whole time.
Yeah.
And that third thing is like when you were 5 years old at your birthday party and you blew up a balloon just to pull the mouth of the balloon real tight and let the air escape, and it escapes with a terrible scream. I've got that going on 24/7. Right now, I have that in addition to me talking, which makes that worse. And then Jim says, and I can, you know, and no, it's there's times, well, before you, some of you got here, Carol was talking to Jim, and it was on my most affected ear as I'm talking over here, and I think she's shouting. It's painful. And I only bring it up as an illustration. I don't talk about it much. Why? It's just something I have to endure. Hardness is a good soul. It's just something that's there. But would I like Israel's program?
For that.
Out, you demon of tinnitus.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I wrote a column probably easily 10 years ago about how I'd like a moment of silence. Because I haven't had a moment of silence in all these years. I don't just hear the birds. I hear the birds over air escaping out of a radiator, air escaping out of a balloon. A constant shrill, if you are listening to FM 88 on your radio, and it's the snooty opera and classical music station. And when the fiddles get up to their highest, and you know, that's 24/7. Would I like that to go away? Now, when I mention tinnitus, what immediately happens, if you tried olive oil, I've tried everything.
Yeah.
Some of these miracle cures they advertise when you dial the 800 number, $99 for a half ounce bottle, no guarantee, no return.
Yeah.
Huh? I've been lied to by experts. These folks aren't very expert. So, yes, there's times I think, man, I wouldn't mess up so much if I had the idea for writing 3 books and I could just put them out in the yard. Go to bed, get up in the morning, Mm-hmm. And I'll rank the one that isn't wet.
Yeah.
That doesn't have dew on it. Mm-hmm. Called fleecing the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Putting out the fleece.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't you like that? How many dumb things? I told Carol 100 times. She said, boy, that really worked great. And I said, yeah, don't forget about the 99 things I tried that didn't.
True.
Our being on Amazon.com. It worked great. Barnes & Noble didn't. Spring Harbor didn't. Appalachia didn't. Whitaker happened. You know, I could go on and on and on with the litany of failures before somebody's carrying our books for 5 years or so.
Yes.
I'd like, selfishly, I'd like the physicality and the flesh gratification and the immediate, but I don't get any of that.
Nope.
I had to learn I'm crucified with Christ, and it's all about spiritual things. It's not about the flesh and the physical.
Right.
I have a healing program. My tinnitus will be done.
Amen.
My torn retina, no problem. This I-2200, no problem. This bald pink of mine, my healing program is called death.
Yes.
Then I get a new body.
Amen.
So I had to learn these things as a challenge. When there's things that were hid and they were given us in Christ Jesus, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9, before the world began, and Christ delineates these things to the Apostle Paul, then, doctrinally speaking, I'm wasting my time to look for those things in Genesis through the middle of the book of the Acts.
Yes.
Because they're not going to be there. They're hidden all that time. Oh, I can get some spiritual truth, and I can get some historical truth, and I can find out some things about the mind of the Lord. I can learn a lot.
Yep.
But I'm not going to go to the swimming axe head as my pattern.
No.
I lost my pocket knife that I work outdoors with. The big Spanish one.
Yeah.
And, oh, it was so useful. Because it was heavy. You could pry things with it. You could cut things with it. You could stab things. You could do all kinds. And I lost it. Why shouldn't I be able to pray and find it like the pearl of great price? If I could be a prophet like, well, I think it's 1 Kings 7 where the axe head swims, shouldn't that little knife just toddle its way back to my pocket? I've read the material. I know what their life was like, and I think every once in a while, that'd be good. Pillar of smoke by day, I wouldn't make so many wrong turns. Pillar of fire by night, I'd know right where to go.
Yep.
Rather than that, I have to become edified.
Yes.
Well, that doesn't sound fun. No burning bushes in that. No emotional highs and lows in that. Solomon says, much study is a weariness of the flesh. Have you noticed? You can be wide awake, and within 10 minutes of reading your Bible, you're ready to go to bed.
Yeah. Yeah.
Have you noticed?
Yeah, flesh is wicked.
Oh, boy. Now I have to force my left eye to behave, to read. Oh. Whoever called these the golden years? There's three people I don't like. I really don't like. That would be one of them. Whoever called these the golden years. The other two, the one who invented chewing gum. And whoever invented flip flops. Those three people got to go. Two of them are kind of the same person, aren't they? Chewing gum and flip flops. Carol used to have something. Kids chewing gum. You look like a cow chewing its cud. So the cow looks smart. Can't talk like that anymore.
Boy, you'd be...
That old fool in the Santorum campaign that talked about birth control being an aspirin tablet between the girl's knees. We thought that was funny 40, 50 years ago.
Yeah.
You can't even say it now. Serious. When reality checked out, what was it that checked in? Well, it's interesting. Now, because of knowing that I'm operating according to information that had been heeded, I have a red flag that waves at me. When I see people are fast and loose with using slogan verses from John or slogan verses from Habakkuk, a friend just emailed me a sample of a tract he's working on, and he used a verse from Luke, and I'm thinking, why go there?
Yes.
All you're doing is endorsing Luke as a doctrinal platform, when in fact it isn't.
No.
Not our doctrine. Mm. So it's needful, I think, that we rightly divide, that we're more careful in our choices. We found out, and we've emphasized God's purpose, and we've talked quite a bit about the fact that God has a purpose for His earthly people, His earthly program, and having dominion on this earth. And God has a purpose for His heavenly people, His heavenly program, and having dominions in the heavenly places.
Yeah.
We see that declared in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, Genesis chapter 1, verse 16. We see that reiterated in Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, Colossians chapter 1, verse 20, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 10, and Philippians chapter 2, verse 20, that there are things going on in heavenly places and things going on in earthly places.
Yes.
What's been lost on most folks is that the Bible's focus from Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, all the way through the light from heaven showing up in Acts chapter 9, is the earth. It's an earthly focus. When Jesus tells His men to pray, "Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done," people think the idea is that you die and go to heaven. But what's this business about "Thy will be done on earth"? Dying and going to heaven is Pauline. Having dominion on earth, that's Israel's focus. So I need to find my place in all of this, in God's purpose. Yes. And I need to know that God has a purpose in heaven, and that I'm going to be together in one, in over all things in Christ. Both, there are things in heaven, there are things in earth.
Yes.
Ephesians chapter 1, verses 9, 10, and 11. Now, what the devil has done is a job of usurpation. He has usurped Israel's earthly position.
Yes.
Whereby in Matthew 4 and Luke 4, the devil offers the kingdoms of this world to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
You can't offer what's not in inventory. So he had in inventory the kingdoms of this world that he could offer them, and so he did. I know that He's the prince and power of the air. I know he's got a heavenly orientation, not the third heaven, but the second. And I'm headed there. Satan would have me fight the wrong battle. If he can have God's heavenly people under the law trying to win the earth, Satan has God's heavenly people spinning, confused, wasting their time, wasting their efforts. I marvel every year at the effort that is put behind the Christmas celebration, oh, put Christ back in Christmas, where he never was in the first place. The privilege of putting up a tree, like any Odin worshiper in Scandinavia.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So Satan's been a lot smarter than the pulpits of Christianity in confusing people. I am in a fight. I don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness. He's up there in high places. That's where I'm going to end up, in high places. He's up there. He's spiritual wickedness. And he's got most of Christianity, quote unquote, calling itself Christianity, not even saved. Not even ever having heard the gospel of the grace of God, much less trusted it. That the church is of their choice.
Yes.
One presidential candidate said of another, well, if he says he's a Christian, that's good enough for me. And that's what Rick Santorum said about President Obama. Well, if he says he's a Christian, that's good enough for me. How about Christ and him crucified? And does anybody care about that? How about the, not the wafer from the bakery? Not the corporate salvation when we all come together, which is liberation theology, that we're our president. It is neither of those.
No.
And the Christians want to vote Christian, and their choices are so off base, so askew, so far from Bible. I put on my blog 2 weeks ago, and I didn't know how smart I was. The Southern Baptists and Evangelicals are going to be out there fighting with the Pope over something that isn't in the Bible.
Yep.
And I said how brilliant it was, and I put David Axelrod in on it, remember? How brilliant it was of the administration to see the hypocrisy.
Yeah.
And to say, here, play with this a while and let everybody see what idiots you are.
Yeah.
That's genius. Have you read Machiavelli? The Prince of Egypt. And that's genius. Well, Timothy had been warned by Paul about preachers getting too big for their britches.
Yeah.
Remember in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 6, not a novice. That's being lifted up with pride, he falls into the condemnation of the devil.
Yep.
Too big for his britches.
Yep.
He's a novice, he thinks he's hot stuff. Next thing you know, he's making a mess.
Oh, yeah.
Do we have any examples of that in the grace movement?
Oh, my.
How much time have you got? We know Satan has an agenda because we read it in Isaiah 14, we read it in Ezekiel 28, we saw what his program is, we now know, and we've seen it now four times, I brought it up, not today, but four previous, about God's purposes, that he has a purpose, and what's going on is God putting the body of Christ in a position to respond to the evil that is out there. To the darkness and confusion that is out there. Now, darkness and evil and confusion are not a stranger to God. Isaiah chapter 45, verse 7, I form the light, God says, and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Evil there is not sinfulness. Evil can be anything from a thunderstorm, deleterious circumstance. So, in response to the devil, God deals with the devil. In response to the devil, you and I, with right doctrine, need to undermine what the devil has done in getting everyone off point and away from the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and getting back on point. When God was confronted with the fall of Lucifer and Satan in his rebellion against God, as you see in Isaiah chapter 14, he would be like the Most High. when Lucifer did that, God cursed him above the cattle. God put a new creature in place, Adam and Eve, to have dominion on the earth. Isn't it amazing? As Satan, the prince and power of the air, the wickedness in high places, is going to be supplanted by another new creature shows up.
Yes.
And so here we have not Adam and Eve, here we have the body of Christ. A new creature. There's never been a being that ever existed that is changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, stops having a terrestrial body and starts having a celestial body. There's never been anybody like that.
That's right.
David had no such promise. Moses had no such promise. Theirs was about being on the land. Job, the first one to report it, says he expects to see his creator on this earth.
Yeah.
So with the fall of a cherub, God uses a new creature, Adam and Eve. Most of your Bible is a focus of failure of Adam and Eve, who should have had dominion on the earth. May I be so silly as to say they should be in the garden today? God's intent was to fellowship with His creation in that garden. Had they not eaten from that tree, they'd still be there. God, with His righteous, holy judgment, has separated Himself from the first Adam and exhibited Himself in the last Adam. You and I, who were born into the first Adam, become a new creature in the second Adam, and that new creature that God makes us in Christ Jesus then operates in heavenly places for God's glory, for His purposes in Christ Jesus for the rest of eternity. I look forward to seeing what all that means in practice. I get little glimpses now and again. I get some ideas that come to me in weird little verses in places like Zephaniah 4. I'll read something and I think, wow, I wonder if I soon enough will know and be there in heavenly places. Humanity, rather than standing with its Creator in the garden, chose rebellion, chose to be like God, to know good and evil, to have authority in the earth. They wanted to do all the things that were God's. And so that's commonly referred to as the fall in Genesis chapter 3. And so enmity is put in place, Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. That separation, that enemy relationship between God and His creation was ameliorated by a religion called the Jewish faith, what God gave to Israel, the covenant. God used that to hold Satan's judgment in abeyance until such time as God could fix everything that humanity and Satan had broken with the Messiah, the sacrificial lamb, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, having done that, Satan stuck with heavenly places, having lost the earth when Israel is restructured and resuscitated. Here comes somebody nobody saw coming. A new creature, the church which is his body, outfitted and equipped to operate in heavenly places. That is information which had been hidden since the world began. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. But now we know it. So my focus now is not the focus of the typical churchgoer, which I take to be getting things from God and doing things for God to make America a better place and my neighborhood a nicer place.
Yeah.
And pick up after myself. Yeah. Clean my plate. Give money when people knock on the door. You know, just be nice.
Yeah.
I found out I've got something going on as a new creature.
Yes.
That old things which have passed away aren't mine to bother with. They were a shadow of things to come. I'm not the shadow. I'm not going to be here when things come. The bodies of Christ. And so my job is to focus and set my affections on things above. My job is to be oriented towards spiritual blessings in heavenly places. And while I'm here, I'm to be a soldier of the cross. I'm to be an ambassador of reconciliation. I'm not to try to become some ascetic, holier than thou, put a dark robe on me, make me say a vow of silence, and sit in some abbey somewhere, drinking my wine. That's not it. I'm to engage with people in the marketplace of ideas and present Christ and Him crucified. That's the idea. Reckoning my old man to be dead indeed. So, when Paul makes the statement in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9 that we have a purpose, and that purpose was given us in Christ Jesus, when we got in Christ Jesus, we share that purpose.
Yeah.
We've talked at length about the purpose of God. And that was something that was hidden and is now made manifest. It was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Now, in today's outline, you have then the two sets of verses, the before the world and the since the world verses, which are very, very useful, and I encourage you to give them a try. When you do that, you're doing exactly what God would have you do. To show people what is the revelation of the mystery, the information that was hid, but is now made manifest.
Amen.
Amen. We'll stop there.